God's name today. All right, how's everybody doing this morning? It's December. You know, I'm going to say it's finally December, but I don't know about you, but this year is flying. Anybody feel this year is just flying by? You know, and it's like, man, it's already the 7th of December. I need to acknowledge it is the 7th of December. There was a significant event happened the 7th of November, 1941. Anybody, December 7th? You know, I think one of the things we need to always remember, and a matter of fact, I want to do it right now, is that generation is passing away. Those who give us the freedom that we have today together in a place like this. They paid a price for us together in a place like this. And so I want to just bow for a word of prayer for a minute. Lord, I just thank you for this great nation that you have given us an opportunity together as a people to have the freedom to worship you, the freedom to acknowledge you, the freedom to come and gather with others and just call on the name of God. I thank you for that freedom and for those who paid the price for this nation that we can have this privilege. I thank you for them. I ask you to bless those that are still here, those that are continuing on to battle the world, to battle the things of life, whether it's health issues or emotional issues. Lord, bless them, watch over them, and care for them in a special way. And let them know that we truly appreciate the sacrifice they made for this freedom today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I was reading an article that the gentlemen from Pearl Harbor were there. I think there was still like two of them still gathering, if I read the paper right, that were still gathering over there at Pearl Harbor. But last week we began this, and as I was looking back, I wanted to talk about an old-fashioned Christmas, and we began this series last week that we kind of like, we look back over Christmas, and we come to this time, and it's kind of like, remember when? You know, does it seem like the past was always better than today? Does it seem that way that, you know, it was always just something different in the past? And I shared with you that, you know, what it is, it becomes nostalgia when we forget the bad things that happened. And those struggles and those battles during those times. And it was no easier then than it is today. But we would like, there's some things we would like to see about Christmas. I don't know about you, but I would enjoy seeing, you know, I don't know, I like decorations. You know, going down the streets and looking at all the homes. Anybody? Anybody? You know? The smell of the pine tree in the house, although I can't have that anymore with Laura's allergies. You know? You walk into the house at Grandma's house and it just smelled of food. All sorts of food at Grandma's house, you know, and she had the metal tree. Remember the metal tree? Remember the tinfoil tree, you know, and the light that would circle around and change the colors of the tinfoil? Anybody remember that tree just besides me, you know? You know, we remember those things, you know, the decorations, the things that, old-fashioned Christmas. Well, I'd like to have an old-fashioned Christmas today. You know, I want to experience some of those things today. And so here's what I was thinking about this morning. You know, if I want an old-fashioned Christmas, maybe I've got to become old-fashioned. And some of you out there are going, yeah, we know, you're Gary, you are old-fashioned. You know, I know some of you kids think that, right? Yeah. You know? But I thought, you know, was there some things back then that can help us have an old-fashioned Christmas? And so what I did is I kind of wrapped up four things for us this morning. I think if we practice these four things, we can have an old-fashioned Christmas. Because we can become an old-fashioned family. We can start practicing those things that made Christmas. That childhood memory. You know? But it's always been that desire. It's always been that desire. So I just want us to kind of think about it. And what I want you to look at, and I want us to kind of, what does it take? And I want to begin again. I told you these messages are going to begin with the words of an angel's. Last week, the angel talked about peace on earth, goodwill towards men. This week, I want us to look at a passage where the angel appeared to Mary. Young teenage girl. And the angel shows up to Mary and tells Mary, yes, you're engaged, and I know you've been sexually pure. You've maintained that purity in your life. But you're going to be impregnated by the Spirit of God, and you're going to have the Son of God. And the angel tells her these words, and then Mary's sitting there, how does that work? I mean, you know, how does that take place? Look at what she says here. Get your little outline out, you can follow along. And Mary said to the angel, how would this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. He says, this is how it's going to be. But I like this next phrase. Listen. And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, as I read that, one of the things that crossed my mind, why is he talking about that? What does that have to do with her having the Son of God? And I see the angel saying, listen, you're going to have a child, but you're not in this alone. You're not out there all by yourself. There's someone there that's going to be with you through this. There's someone there that's going to help you through this. It's your relative, Elizabeth. The angel's pointing out that, you know what? You got family. There's family. You know, as we go through life, as we deal with life issues, as we battle the struggles of life, God is sitting there and he's blessed us with a family. Those that are around us. I think this is significant. You know, why would the angel just put this little phrase there? It had nothing to do with the virgin birth. It had nothing to do with Mary becoming pregnant. But it had everything to do with Mary. Yeah. Yes, you're going to have a child, but you're not in this alone. And so what does Mary do? Look at what it says here in the next verse. In those days, Mary rose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The angel tells her, listen, here's this place where you can find safety. Here's this place where you can find comfort. Here's this place where you can find encouragement. Here's this place where you can go and be okay. It's your relatives. It's your family. And she goes. She goes to her family. See, I think it's important for us to see the significance here. That family is a place where we can go. And especially at Christmas time, we turn to our families, and Elizabeth is there to receive her. I kind of thought about this. Maybe, you know, here's this young teenage girl, doesn't know anything. What is morning sickness? You know, what is this? And how do you do this? And doesn't understand. And here's Elizabeth that can walk her through those days and can help her and can be with her. And she stayed with her until, if you want to know the truth, the angel said, she's 6 months pregnant. Look at this next verse. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. She stayed with her till John the Baptist was born. She went to family. There's something about family. And if you want an old-fashioned Christmas, here's what I want to tell you. You need an old-fashioned family. And there's nothing wrong with being an old-fashioned family, all right? You don't have to be old to have an old-fashioned family. There's something about family. And I want us to think about it. Here's four things. I want you to look at four things that can give you an old-fashioned family and can make you have an old-fashioned Christmas. And so I wanted to unwrap these and just kind of go through some of these. I'm hoping I can unwrap them easily. Laura wrapped them. Got a game. I got a game. Anybody play games? Anybody? Anybody play games? You know what? If we're going to have a great family, an old-fashioned family, I wrote it this way. An old-fashioned family plays together. You got to play together. You got to have fun. You got to do things. I remember, you know, as I was growing up, we'd sit around the dining room table and play dominoes. Anybody play dominoes here? Anybody ever play dominoes? All right. You know, I learned to count and add and do math playing dominoes, you know? And that's just, you know, we played. We'd sit around the table. And I remember going to the mountains and at my mom and dad's cabin, and my mom was teaching us to play hearts. A little harder to understand. There's a good story there. I'm not going to tell that one right now. You can ask me later. Laura doesn't enjoy the story as much as I enjoy the story. But you can ask me about that time in the mountains playing hearts and those things. But we grew up playing games and enjoying, you know, and doing stuff with the family. Look at what it says. Ecclesiastes 8:15. This is, look at what Solomon. And so I recommend having fun. Because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Life's going to be hard, he says. Life's going to be tough, but you got to have some fun. I circled that word fun. I like having fun. If you want to build a family, are you playing games? You know, there was a study done that said, what do kids want to do the most? They want to play games. They want to sit down and play games. This was made by my daughter. Jennifer made this for us for Christmas. It's got it written on the back, 2013 Merry Christmas. I had to paint it and do all the funny stuff to it. But we'd go up to their place and up there, and we'd sit around the table and play this game. Just last year, we'd play the game. They came down just a few weeks ago, and we sat around my house and played this game with my granddaughter and my son-in-law and my daughter. Matter of fact, I even went when I was in Las Vegas and bought special dice. They got sixes and twos on that one and five on this one. That's all it's got is five. You get the idea? So I hate losing. Now, I'll tell you a funny story here, though. The old blue church, I'm preaching away. There's about 30 people in church, and I'm preaching away. I played games with my kids. I played war with my son, Jeremiah. And so I'm just preaching away, and I'm at a point in the sermon, and I say something along these lines. I don't lie, cheat, or steal. And Jeremiah is about three rows back, and Jeremiah just blurts out, he cheats. And everybody heard it. Martha might remember that. Yeah? And everybody heard it, that Gary cheats. And it's like, so I'm done. And I just put my head on the pulpit, and I'm just going, okay, what did I do? What did I do? You know? Then I remembered I was teaching him to play war, and I was showing him how to put the aces on the bottom and cheat. You know? That, I mean, I grew up playing Monopoly with my brothers, and I like being the banker. You know? Because the object of the game is to what? Win. Yeah. Now, young kids, don't do that. Don't learn that part from me. All right. Play games. You know, if you want to have a family, you got to have fun as a family. What are you doing for fun? What is your family doing for fun? It's not just something you do around Christmas. I remember going to my grandma's house at Christmas with my uncles playing dominoes. Now, this is funny. I played my grandparents, you know, they're Okies. Anybody know what Okies were? You know, they came out. You know, I got Okie for my grandparents and all of that. And my grandfather was a Brush Arbor preacher, all right? That means he never pastored a church, but wherever the crops were growing, he would preach. He was a licensed preacher. I got his license that my great-grandfather signed for my grandfather. And so, but we would play dominoes. And here's my grandfather in his 70s, and we're playing dominoes. And he'd put a 2 on a 3. Anybody know what that does? And just like, he knew what he was doing. I watched him slide 2 dominoes out at once and just kind of, trying to sneak those in. Yeah? That's grandpa. But we grew up playing domino. We grew up having family fun. That's what family was about. I want to tell you, if you want an old-fashioned Christmas, are you having fun as a family? Are you doing things for fun as a family? I don't know. I see today's world and, you know, we try to keep the kids busy, but are we having fun? Do you know what I'm saying? We got to get them in sports. We got to get them in this part. We got to do this. We got to do this. We keep them busy, but busyness is not always fun. I want to challenge you. You want an old-fashioned family? Are you having fun? Are you doing things for fun? You know? Yeah, Jennifer and them came down and we sat around in my living room and played the game. When my grandkids would come over, we'd play games like Seen It with Disney. Always fun because we'd always try to pick a Disney game, and guess whose team everybody wanted to be on? You know, because I got most of the answers, you know. Trivia game with Disney, yeah, I can answer those. You know, but I'd play that with my grandkids and my kids. We'd sit around, the one on TV, I just want to encourage you. You want to know faster Christmas? Start having some fun. Sit down with the kids. Sit down with the grandkids. Sit down, even as adults. Even as adults. Until I couldn't stay up there in the mountains when we had Thanksgiving dinner, we'd always stay till late at night playing dominoes with my cousins. We're adults sitting around the table. Doesn't matter what age you are. You want to have some fun. I see that passage. I see this teaching here. Look at what it says here in Ecclesiastes 11:8. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. No matter what your age. Have some fun. Do some things. What do you remember? What do you remember that was fun, that you enjoyed, that was exciting to you? You know, are you having fun as a family? You want an old-fashioned Christmas? Start having fun. And not just a play day Christmas day, okay? You know, all the time. Do things for fun. I look forward to going up and seeing Jennifer again. I'm taking my dice with me when I go up to Jennifer's house. You know? And yeah, I'll be honest. I will cheat, okay? If you come to Awana's, they will tell you, I cheat. You're supposed to go on the outside of this circle? Forget it. You know? Now, maybe I'm not a good preacher or pastor, but that's just me. Are you going to have some fun? You want an old-fashioned Christmas? Start having fun now. What are you doing to have fun now? See, an old-fashioned family, they played together. Will you play? Will you find some fun? I have another gift here. Let's see. Oh, you guys might not like this one. Bunch of books. Yeah, see, yeah, some people are going, books? You know what I wrote here? We got to encourage people to grow. Do you know that? We got to encourage growth. You got to learn. You got to grow. And so I just bought a bunch of books. I bought this for my grandson. It's a Christian writer. Anybody remember the skinny comedian guy for the State Youth Conference? Bob Smiley. I'm trying to remember his name. Bob Smiley. I got his book. My wife reads Guidepost. Anybody here read Guidepost? Anybody? Man, nobody reads Guidepost? Anybody into sports? Joe Gibbs. Anybody who knows Joe Gibbs is? Anybody watch football? I just finished this one. Duck Commander. Anybody watch Duck Commander? Come on! Good story. Good reading here. Linda might recognize this one. How about Developing Better with Our Money Management? I got that book. How about a Beth Moore book? I got a book for Beth Moore. But I got a Bible here too. Yeah. We need to encourage growth. We need to inspire people to grow in God. And I'm going to tell you, I pastor a church, and my passion is for our kids and for growth. And why do you hear me talk about Bible study all the time and home groups all the time and getting into the Bible? Why do you hear us talk about Awana's and Vacation Bible School and Children's Church? Because we want the kids to grow. We want them to mature. We want ourselves to mature. Just so you guys know, I'm surprised with how much I'm still learning. I'm just now putting things together as a Christian. I've been doing this, and I went through college. I went through a master's program. I went through a doctorate program, and I'm surprised with how much I'm still just putting things together. You know, it's like, whoa, I never thought about it that way. But we need to encourage people to grow. And I want to tell you something. The church can't do it by itself. I've been involved in school and on the school board and all this, and here's my statement. I'm going to stand on this statement. It is your job, and it is my job as a parent and as a grandparent to raise my kids, to teach them spiritually and educationally. It is my job. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I want this church to be there to help you. But it's your job. Educationally, it's your job. But I want to be here to help. But I want to encourage you. What are you doing? Do you have some good reading material around your house? You know, coming to church just Easter and Christmas is not really a wise thing to do. You know, where are your kids going to pick up values? Where are they going to learn truth? Where are they going to learn trust? Look at what it says about Jesus here. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew. Look at those four areas of where he grew. He grew physically. He grew in stature. He grew physically. He grew into a young man. He grew into a man. He grew physically. It said he grew also in wisdom. He grew in that knowledge. He grew intellectually. He grew in favor with God. He grew spiritually. He grew with men socially. See, we need to encourage, are we growing? Is our family growing? Are we learning? Are we developing? Are we seeing this world? Are we experiencing this world? And see, I want to challenge us. You know, if we want to know faster, am I helping my family grow? Are we bringing our family along with us? I want my kids and my grandkids to see and to hear the truth. I want the kids here in this church that I get a chance to influence and they look at me. I want them to see and hear the truth. I put two positive things and two negative things down here about growing and about becoming and leading who God wants to be. I put here, first of all, you got to set the example. Now, I didn't set a real good example a little earlier. Now, you need to know that I planned this. I did not set a good example. I cheat, okay? That is not a good example. But we do need to be good examples. I've never forgot when I was driving my kids to Davis High School. I'm going down Tully Road, and some lady goes from this lane and turns onto Standard and just cuts me, almost hits me. I slam on my brakes, and so I honk my horn. And she gave me the California wave. But what I thought about was this. Guess who was in the back seat of her car? Two kids. Two kids in the back seat are going to go to school and flip somebody off. And mom's going to go, I don't know where they learned that. Let me tell you where they learned it, lady. We're an example. Whether we like it or not. You know, I hear these sports players, I'm not a role model. Duh. You are. Whether you admit it or not, these sports players are role models. You know? The kids look up to them. And I shared this with you not long ago. Just so you know, everybody is a role model. I don't care how old you are or how young you are a role model. Preschoolers look up to who? Children. Am I right? Children look up to who? Teenagers. Is that right? Teenagers look up to who? Not me. College kids, right? Yeah. We're all role models for somebody. Somebody's watching us. See, we need to understand we're setting an example. Look at what it says. John 13, 14 through 15. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Do as I have done. Now, has anybody ever heard this? Do what I have said, not what I do. Anybody ever hear that one? Anybody hear that one from a parent? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. I know I did. Yeah. But we need to understand, we are an example. Set the example. Yeah. My prayer, as I walk around this place and as I pray for my kids during the week and for you during the week, is that others will see Jesus in me. That's my prayer. Yeah, I want them to see Jesus. I want my grandkids to see Jesus in me. Because I pray for my grandkids. You need to know this morning, as I prayed for you guys and my grandkids and everybody, I prayed that they will be men and women of God who pursue God. That was my prayer this morning for my grandkids and for you guys sitting in here. And I prayed that, you know, my other part of that prayer was that God will provide for them a godly spouse. That was my prayer. But I got to set that example. I got to be that example. So I want to encourage you. If you want people to grow, are you an example? Oh, I go to church when I feel like it. Oh, I'm too tired today to bring you to Awana. You got to be an example. Second thing I put down here is this. You got to have conversations. Critical conversations. We all have conversations like this. Did you get your homework done? Right? You always have that conversation, right? Yeah. Did you clean your room? Yeah. We all have those conversations. Yeah. Well, here's our schedule for the week. Make sure you're ready. Yeah. But I'm talking about critical conversations, important conversations. Conversations at the dinner table, conversations in needs, questions. You know, do we have those critical conversations? Are we taking time to talk, to hear, to listen, to converse, to hear things? Look at what it says. You must teach them to your children and talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk, at a bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. He's talking about God's word, Deuteronomy 6:4. He's talking about teaching. He's talking about sharing. Are you talking about God's word? Are you talking about God and his nature and his character? Are you sharing that information? Like I say, I can remember, and I've shared this with you many times. I remember Christmas Eve, my grandma's house. She's laying back in her recliner, and she's sitting there, and where all the grandkids are around the chair there, because this is, I mean, every year. You know, and I've shared this with you. Who was Jesus' mother? Susan, answer. You know, Evelyn, tell her. You know, Linda, somebody. I had no idea. I'm serious. I had no idea. You know, who's Jesus' dad? I don't know. Because nobody taught me. Nobody shared it. See, we never had that conversation, but Grandma had the conversation. It took me a few years to get it, okay? I'm going to be honest. I'm a slow learner. See, are we having those conversations? Are we doing those things? You know, I remember going to my mother-in-law. It was amazing. We always, and the grandkids, I always got to read the story, and the grandkids acted out the birth of Jesus. She'd always sew them things, fixing it all up. Yeah, they'd have gowns. I got pictures of all the grandkids when they were Jennifer and Brad and Brian and all of them all dressed up, Jules all dressed up, and they'd come out and do the Bible story Christmas Eve. You know. And so they knew. Are you having those conversations, those critical conversations? You know? I tell you, this is a good time. You know that sex talk? Anybody ever struggle with that sex talk? I'll talk about sex in church. It's okay, okay? Sex is okay when you're married. All right? In the right context, it's great. All right? Never had that sex talk? Well, let me tell you something. Christmas is a good time because Mary was a what? All right! Great context. Great opportunity. Why do I want to be pure? Why should we seek to be pure? Because we want to be used by God. We want to be something special in God's hands. See, we can have those conversations. Are you having them? I put two negative things down here because I think it's really important that we do some things, but we avoid some other things. We need to avoid criticism. We need to avoid criticism. We don't criticize. People do not grow through criticism. All right? Is that right? Now, I hope I don't. Laura's in the lobby, so hopefully she won't. How many women would say nagging really works? Huh? You nag that guy, right? Does it ever really help? Yeah, it never works. Yeah. Criticism, it just, you don't motivate by criticizing. You know, it just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't seem to fit that way. You know, if you have a little child and you tell that child that's 2 years old, 3 years old, they're just walking, don't touch that over there. What's that child going to go do? Going to march right over there and touch it. See, when you talk about criticism, you're saying, hey, you planted that thought in my head. See, when I was growing up, you told me not to do something. My personality was, okay, that's next on my list. I did. I remember in middle school, junior high school, there was a crack in the concrete. Lunch people had to stay out here, but once the bell rang, you could cross the line. I'm standing there at the line waiting for the bell to ring. The campus supervisor standing right there says, don't cross the line. Off to the office I went. Okay, so you sent me to the office. Big deal. I've been there many times. You know? When you criticize, it just doesn't work. Writing them, criticizing them, harping on it is not going to motivate them. Am I right? Look at what it says here. And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful, rather bring them up. With loving discipline, the Lord himself approves with suggestions and godly advice. Isn't that a good verse? You know? Isn't that a good verse? You know? Just so you know, kids, just give you kids a little hint. If you go back to the Old Testament, there's another good passage there. I'll warn you. It goes like this. Spare the rod, spoil the child. All right? I also believe in corporal discipline. Now, maybe that would get me in trouble. Maybe I'm not politically correct, but I got an amen in the back for that one. Yeah. But we do not need to criticize. The other thing I put here is don't compare. Don't compare. If you were just more like your brother, your sister, why aren't you more like your dad? Why aren't you more like your mother? Why aren't you? Does comparison really work? You know, for me, comparison makes me resentful. You know? Coming from a brother, when you got two other brothers and everything, and 1 year apart, and, you know, it just doesn't work. Comparison just doesn't work. Comparison doesn't motivate. Comparison doesn't encourage growth. And so don't compare. Here's what God's Word says, Galatians 6:4. Each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he can be proud of what he himself has done. You grow yourself. You motivate yourself. Don't compare to others. Don't compare cars or homes or lawns. Don't compare anything. You know, what you do, you know, pastors. You know, I was just at a conference, you know, don't compare. You know, I got a church, we're running between 70 and 80 people, and you know, I'm around guys that are running churches in the thousands. Just so you know, I got to go to a really big meeting. It was great. You know. And it's like, how do I fit here? Because I can't compare. You know, don't compare. I'm having a great time here. This is a great place. I'm going to tell you, this is a great church. You guys need to know this is a great church. We might not be the biggest church, but we're the great church. And we are. We're making a difference in people's lives. I'm praying to make a difference in your life, that this church makes a difference. So don't compare. There's nobody comparing. Are you doing anything to grow? Are you doing anything to grow? You got to play. You got to grow. Oh, yeah. Now, with my brothers, I would have really liked these. I don't know if I can get them on. Boxing gloves. Anybody? Anybody ever fight with your brothers? Anybody besides me? I broke my hand hitting my little brother. I was rotten. I didn't get saved till I was 17. Give me a break. God changed me. I put this here because you know what? If you're going to have a family, you're going to have to fight. Families fight. Am I right? Now, come on. Don't say they're all innocent. Do families fight? Do they have discussions? You know, the fun thing for me, the grandkids are in the back of the car, and Laura and I are driving around, and Laura and I have discussions, okay? And, you know, and the kids are in the back seat, Jules and Aubrey, and they're back there, quit fighting. And it's like, we're not fighting. We're just discussing. Yeah, it's hard being family. So I put it this way. Old-fashioned families fight for the family. Now, I'm not about fighting with one another because that's the problem. We fight with one another. See, let me tell you something. My fight is not with Laura. My fight is with Satan, because who wants to destroy the marriage? Laura and I have no intention on getting divorced. That word, I have never used that word in my marriage. Never. And I never plan on saying that word. If you're married, you never use that D word. Never say the D word. Not even in games, not even in fun, not even just playing around. You never say that word. Now, that's off the table. That's nowhere near. And so when we argue and we have our discussions, what's causing the problem? See, here's what I want to tell you something. Satan's the one that wants to destroy the marriage. Satan's the one that wants to destroy your family. Not your spouse, not the prodigal child, not some other individual. It's Satan that wants to destroy your family. And see, I think we need to see that as we have our conversations as family, taking divorce off the table, it's not a part of our conversation. We need to fight for our marriages. And it takes work. Am I right? It's not easy being married. I've been married 38 years. All right? I've been married 38 years. Has it been always easy? I've shared with you, the first 2 years of our marriage, I give nothing but credit to Laura. Because I was going to school, and that's all I cared about. I'm serious. Laura needs a blue ribbon or whatever for putting up for me for those first 2 years. You know, she might need it for all 38 years. I'll let her call that one. But I'm serious. That was a hard time for her. I can't imagine. But we got to fight for our family. Are you fighting for your marriage? You need to realize you're not fighting that person. Yeah, they may do things. They may rub you wrong. You may wonder why I got married in the first place. Why is this happening in our marriage? Why don't they understand me? Any of those sound familiar? Yeah. But you need to realize that that fight has nothing to do with that person. That fight has to do with everything with Satan, because Satan is the one that wants to destroy it. Because when you married that person, there was joy, there was happiness, and it's still there. Because I'm going to tell you, I do not believe you fall in love and you fall out of love. That does not happen. You did something to build that relationship, and you got to do something to continue that relationship. And so I call it fighting. I like what it says here. Here's what you need to listen to. Our fight is not against people on earth, but against rulers and authorities and the powers of this world, darkness, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world. See, I believe our fight is against Satan. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy our marriages today. You know, we're worried about gay marriage, and we're worried about gay rights, and we see all that attack on marriage, and that is an attack. But I'm going to tell you, I think the biggest attack is in our homes right now. You know, I really believe that. And so you're going to have to fight, but you got to realize your fight is not against that person. When I am ticked off at Laura, and that happens, okay, I am blessed. I go on this trip to Nashville. I never pack anything. You know, these guys give me a bad time because Laura packs my suitcase for me. She sits there and says, these things go together. It's good to be colorblind. These things go together. These things go together. She lays it all out for me. You know, she takes care of me. Yeah. So I need to treat her right. But then there's times, you know, it's like, you know, you come home. You've been up this time at 1:30 in the morning to catch a flight home. So you're tired, and you're on an airplane that bounced for 4 hours. 4 hours that thing bounced. And you get home, and you're tired, and you're not feeling real well. What do you think you want to do? Yes. But then your wife says something that you don't like, and you're already tired. Is it going to go over well? She did all that work for me. Then I come home and it's like, What's my problem, Laura? Was that my problem? No. Yeah. My problem was me and the battle within me. See, I think Satan uses that. Here's what I want to tell you. You got to fight Satan. I'm going to give you the greatest tool to fight Satan with. All right? You want to fight for your marriage? One word. One word. Pray. Write it down. Write it down. You are not fighting that person. You're not fighting those issues. You are fighting Satan for your marriage. You got to fight for that family. That's why I put the boxing gloves out here, because it is a fight. You got to fight for that family, because Satan's trying to destroy. He wants to destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. Is that what he says? Kill your joy, destroy your peace, and destroy your life. That's Satan's goal. And I'm going to tell you what, you want the greatest tool in your hands to defeat Satan? It's prayer. Look at what it says here. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. This is after he described the armor of God. I'm going to ask you this question. When's the last time you prayed for your spouse? When's the last time you prayed for your children, your grandchildren? When's the last time you prayed for that aunt, that uncle, that relative, or whoever it is that's just, you just can't get along with? When's the last time you prayed for that person that just pushes your button? I'm going to tell you, prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. You need to pray for them. Let me give you a little hint. You know, if you're praying for that person that you're married to, You can't stay mad at them. It changes. It changes your attitude. It changes the spirit in your heart. Prayer, it might not change them, but I'm going to tell you what, it changes you. I pray for Laura every day. I pray for Laura. And when I'm not happy with Laura, I pray for her more. Most of us get not happy and we don't pray at what? At all. You know, during those times when things are tense, where are we going to go for Christmas? You ever have that discussion? Whose house are we going to for Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know? And, man. Yeah. The Bible says, don't go to bed mad. Isn't that what it says? Don't pray. It will save everything in your life. So don't, you want to fight, I want you to put that word prayer down. You need to pray for your marriage. You need to pray for that spouse. You need to pray for that person. You need to pray for those kids, those grandkids. I share with you, I already told you, I pray for all that. I pray for you guys in here. Names that I can remember, I pray by name for you. Those I don't, I'd ask God, God, you know who else? Yeah. My grandkid, my grandson Matthew is what, three? Somebody help me out here. Four, all right. My grandson's four. I'm praying already that he'll grow up to be a man of God. He's 4 years old, and I'm praying he will be a man of God. And that he'll pursue God with all his heart. And I'm praying that God will give him a woman who'll be a godly woman. He's 4 years old. I've been praying for my other grandkids since they were four. I know some people pray for them while they're still in the belly. I laid my hands on Laura and prayed over her belly. Anybody ever do anything like that? On your wife? Come on. Yeah. You got to fight for that marriage. Realize, your fight is not against them. It's not against them. When I have a problem, it's not against Laura. Because we're going to work through this. One way or another, we're going to get through this. Yeah. So I might as well start praying for it now and get it over with. Right? Yeah. So pray. Look at what it says here. I thought this was a great passage. 2 Samuel. This is David. Lord, all-powerful, the God of Israel, you have said to me. Now listen to what he said. This is what God told him. I will make your family great, so I, your servant, am brave enough to pray to you. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Are you brave enough to pray to God for your family? Are you? Are you brave enough? God, you promised me a family. You promised me my family, God. You promised to bless me. God, are you brave enough to pray for it? Look, that's what he said. Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised these good things to me, your servant. Please bless my family. Can you ask God to bless that person you're mad at? Can you? Can you, God, will you bless Laura? I'm ticked at her right now. She didn't fix my breakfast this morning. That doesn't play out because I don't eat breakfast on Sunday. That's why I said it. Yeah. Can you pray for him? God, bless him. Yes, I'm mad. Yes, I'm upset. Yes, I'm hurt. I don't like this. I don't want this. This is not right. I didn't plan on this. On and on and on. God, can you bless my husband? Can you bless my wife? Can you bless my prodigal son? Can you bless? Does this make sense? Am I making sense? Can you bless my child? Can you bless? Please bless my family. Let it continue before you always, Lord God. You have said so. With your blessings, let my family always be blessed. Isn't that awesome? I think that's a great prayer. Write that down somewhere. 2 Corinthians 7:27. Maybe that's something you want to pray every night. Fight for your family. Fight for your family. The last one, I'm going to go really quick. We spent 40 days on this one already. I got a serving tray here. Got a nice serving tray here. You know what? You want an old-fashioned Christmas? You got to serve God and others. We just spent 40 days talking about that. You got to serve God and others if you want to have an old-fashioned Christmas. It can't be just about you and your wants and your desires. You got to give of yourself. And you got to give of yourself not only to your spouse, to your kids, to your family, but to the world at large. We said it this way the last 40 days, have we not? You need to. Every believer needs a ministry and a All right. You got to serve. Does your family serve? I'm going to tell you something. I enjoy going to the gospel. I just go once a month, and I enjoy going to the gospel mission. I'm sitting in my hotel room in Nashville Wednesday night. My phone rings. I take a call from a young man here in Salida. Doesn't go to this church, all right? But I've known him for years. You know what his question was to me? Here's what he says. He goes, I got a 6-year-old son, and my son and I want to do something to serve others this Christmas. He's not in this church. He's just a guy in the community that I've known for years. He's got a 6-year-old son. He's saying, I want to find some way to serve. I want to find some way to serve somebody else. And so I talked to him about the gospel mission and about other things that are going on in Salida right now. Love Salida, the Christmas gifts that are being collected here in Salida, and shared some things because he wanted to teach his child that was growing up to serve. Here I am. I'm in Nashville, and the guy calls me, not even a member of our church. See, that's what family is. You want an old-fashioned family? Are you serving? I like watching old-time history, old-time movies. Anybody like watching old-time movies? Remember the, you know, in those old days, a neighbor would move in and his barn burned down. I'll get it right. His barn burned down. What did all the neighbors do? They brought lumber over. They brought everything over, and they helped him rebuild his barn. Do we do that? See, I want to challenge us. Are you serving? Are you part of it? I'm going to tell you something. You want to do something great. You want to have a great experience. I don't care how old you are, but I'm going to give you a great experience. Come down on Thursday and watch these kids. It is so much fun to see these kids. Are some of the kids a pain? Yeah. Because if they're not going to be, I'm probably a pain to the rest of the workers because I kind of cause trouble. You know, but it's fun. Serving with these kids, I'm going to tell you, find a place to serve. Find a place, Awana's and Children's Church and Child Care and VBS and a Small Group Leader and Open Your Home Up and serve. Serve. See, if you want an old-fashioned Christmas, you're going to have to be an old-fashioned family. I really believe that. If you want an old-fashioned, you have to be an old-fashioned family. You're going to have to play together. You're going to have to sit down and you're going to have to play. You have to have some fun. You're going to have to grow together. You have to do some things to grow. Grow in stature. Grow in wisdom. Grow in God. Grow in social. You're going to have to grow. You have to fight. It's going to take a fight. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You're going to have to fight. You have to fight for that relationship. You have to fight for those kids. Satan wants to take your kids. Did you know that? Satan wants to take your kids down. You're going to have to fight. Get ready. You better. Your greatest tool is your prayers. Are you a prayer warrior? Yeah, I meant to share this. I'm going to take some more time. My mother-in-law has always been a prayer warrior. She's always prayed. She'd go in her room and kneel beside her bed and pray. She is what I called a prayer warrior. This year, we're up there for Thanksgiving, or just right before, I think when I was going to fly out, Sunday. It was last Sunday. She takes me in and she shows me her closet. You know what she did in her closet? She turned her closet into a prayer closet. There's a Jewish shawl hanging on the wall. There's scriptures hanging on the wall. I don't know if she wanted me to share that or not. I don't know, but I'm going to share it anyway. She's praying. I know somebody's covering me with prayer. Covering my wife and my family with prayer. Yeah. You got to pray, man. I'm going to tell you, you want a Christmas, you better start praying. It's not easy being family. You got to pray. Then you got to serve. Does that make sense? You want an old-fashioned Christmas? Be an old-fashioned family. Be an old-fashioned. Where do you need to work? And I put it at the bottom like this. What will you unwrap this year for an old-fashioned Christmas? What do you need to unwrap? Do you need to unwrap some games? You need to unwrap some prayer? You need to unwrap some prayer? You need to unwrap some learning, some growing? You need to unwrap some service this Christmas? What are you going to unwrap this Christmas? What do you need to be an old-fashioned family, to enjoy an old-fashioned Christmas? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you're a loving, caring, merciful God, that you want us to have a wonderful family. Like we read, you want to bless our families. You want to do good things for us. You give great promises for us. Just as David prayed, Lord, we want to pray for our families. And Lord, as we're praying, help us be who you called us to be. Not comparing ourselves to others. Not criticizing others. But Lord, being who you called us to be. Equip us to fight the good fight, to finish the course. You know, as our heads are bowed, this is something I just want to pray right now. Maybe there's some battles in you. Maybe some of these have just brought some things up. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe there's one of these you want to unwrap and you're just fighting for it. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Maybe there's something you want to pray. I see that. I see that. I see that. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands of those who are fighting for these gifts that you want to give us, Lord. The gift of family, Lord, is a hard battle to fight. But prayer is the answer, Lord. Equip us and bless us and touch us. Lord, I lift these up to you to encourage their heart, to strengthen them physically, spiritually, emotionally for the battles that are ahead. Lord, we want an old-fashioned Christmas. So give us an old-fashioned family who loves you and serves you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's positive our service to give an invitation. I don't know what's going on, and you always hear me talk about this Jesus and all that. And I tell you, there's this invisible line. You know, these gifts all start with that invisible line. That you got to reach a point in your life where you say something that along the lines, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. See, it's not about walking an aisle. It's not about getting baptized. It's not about doing everything right. It's about surrendering your heart to God. So I invite you to that decision this morning. Maybe there's something else you need to pray for. Maybe there's a battle. Maybe there's something you need to unwrap. I don't know, but I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. But please don't go out of here without knowing that God loves you. He sent his son, born of a virgin, that you can spend all eternity with him. This is your opportunity to find peace and comfort. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song, and you come as the Spirit leads.